Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Obsession Sessions. My name is Layla.
And my name is Dipti.
And today we have a very special guest, you Yay. Guys. This is extra, extra special. Our sister from another podcast, Miss Daisy hey guys. Rosario.
Lady friends. How my hey. Lady friends doing?
Yeah. It's Serially Obsessed on Obsession yes. Sessions tonight, guys. I'm super pumped for this episode because we are going to do one of my favorite reality shows, RuPaul's Drag Race.
My favorite of all time.
Yes.
Layla, you have been talking about RuPaul's Drag Race for so long. And I just actually have to say, I would just like keep tuning out. I'd be like, oh, okay, Daisy and Layla are talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. And I would just think about whatever I think about Ty Siegel. No, I'm kidding. Anyway.
Oh, man. You bring him up a lot to the point where someone.
Like Ty Siegel is concerned about the amount that you bring him up.
Yeah. Right. I feel like there needs to be some sort of restraining order.
Yeah, there probably should be. Anyways, so I finally, one day, Layla says to me, Dip, we're doing RuPaul's Drag Race for Obsession Sessions. And I say, you know what? All right, done. And I binged 6 episodes in one evening. I was so tired. I came home from work and just wanted to go to bed. I stayed up till 2 in the morning and I watched 6 episodes. And these are not as short as Layla had said.
I literally thought that they were like, they feel like 20 minutes to me. I was you can do this. These episodes are short and sweet.
But you know what? Within 2 days, I was all caught up, and then I caught the season finale, and that's how I came in to the show. Layla, where does your obsession begin?
My obsession begins with another reality show that used to be my favorite that then became my unfavorite because it dwindled in quality, and that is Project Runway. Mm. So that's where I came to it. And then I had a few friends that were watching Drag Race. And I mean, I knew about Logo TV, but I wasn't really paying attention to what they were broadcasting. And they were like, dude, if you like Project Runway, watch this other show. It's like Project Runway, but more fierce.
Oh, yeah.
And that is exactly what it was. I've been watching since season 1. We're now on season 8. Season 7 was a little bit of a dud. And I was a little bit scared because I thought, I'm like, oh, this is the end of Drag Race. Like, it is going the way of Project Runway. I'm sure it's going to go on Lifetime and no one's going to watch it anymore.
They're going to make it unnecessarily 90 minutes.
Although, seriously, if I could watch like a 3-hour long version of Snatch Game, I would do it. I would do it.
Ooh, very interesting you say that. We'll get to that. Okay, go on. Yeah. Just keep that note for later.
Right. So Snatch Game is a thing that they do every season. I mean, the games now, the challenges, they repeat now. So that's a thing that kind of runs its course throughout each season. But yeah, the season came back with a vengeance. Oh, yeah. And I was very excited.
So Daisy, first of all, who are you?
Well, hey guys, I'm your friend Daisy Rosario. We've known each other for a few years now. We have an improv team that exists kind of solely when Layla is like within a 100-mile radius of the city. And
that's right. Right.
And we magically always book shows when that happens. We also do a podcast together. And I am a public radio producer, an audio producer, if you will. So, and on my show, Latino USA, that I work on, I also have actually done a story about RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, that is how deep my love runs.
Yes. This is the segue I want to make into just getting into the show. I remember you talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and at the time I didn't know that Daisy was into
Drag Race. Oh, I'm like a Drag Race truther. Not that that's a thing. But, like, that's my way of saying I've been watching it since season 1. And, like, season 1 was so barely watched that they re-aired it again years later and called it the lost season. I've been watching since, like, the minute it showed up.
Right. Daisy, can I give you my mental image of what I thought was going on when we were recording some Serially Obsessed episode and you're all like, listeners, we have a hard time scheduling stuff because there's three of us on very different schedules, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to talk about where we are, but we don't go into detail about what it is we're doing wherever we are or what we have going on. It's just like, I'm not available. But you did mention, well, I'll be in DC. Actually, I'm covering Drag Race. So I was like, oh, there's this show called RuPaul's Drag. This is what I pictured. You are on the street with a video camera. I mean, not a video camera, with a mic recorder, whatever you call those things, task cam.
Just a recorder.
In your hand. And following, like, a parade. Because just a recorder. Because I know DC has this huge drag race every year because I used to live there. But
oh, you thought it was an actual drag race, like, with cars.
Not with cars. No, no, no. I knew it was a drag race, like drag people in drag. But DC has a men in drag race, like not race, but parade. Yeah. Like it's something that they have. So I just thought you were out there with a recorder at night, like talking to people. I had no idea. So now I want to know, were you at the finale? Like, what were you at?
I mean, I would go interview men in the street who are performing drag easily. So if you know of that happening, like, tweet at me. But I went to one of the opening events for season 6. And
so you were in the audience?
Yeah, I got invited by the logo people who coordinated with me. You know, when you do interviews with celebrities and people from TV shows, you have to deal with PR people, you have to deal with, you know, the publicity wing of whatever channel. And so the logo team and the World of Wonder team, World of Wonder is the group that produces RuPaul's Drag Race, the production company itself. You know, there were people there that I was in contact with because I was booking people from the show. So I interviewed for my piece. I interviewed Michelle Visage and I
did. Oh, you did? Oh, my God. See, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God.
I love that Dip is, like, new to this entire world, but she's still, like, her reaction to Michelle Visage is the same reaction that I would have to somebody who's interviewed Michelle Visage.
I had a really fun time interviewing Michelle Visage, and I think part of that went well because it seemed like she felt like I did know my business because I knew, like, 80s, 90s, like, club things to reference, and like she used to be in a group called Seduction, like she was in a, you know, a trio group, and they had done this song with this other group that I still sometimes listen to at the gym. So I was like joking with her, I was like, I still sometimes listen to Crash, have some fun when I'm at the gym. And she was like, yeah, girl. And I was like, yes, me and Michelle Visage chatting it up. And I interviewed two of the queens.
Oh my God.
You've only watched this season, but the two queens I interviewed for that piece, one was from season 6. I really focused on Puerto Rican queens because my show is Latino USA. So I interviewed a queen named April Carrion, and I also interviewed another queen who, oh my God, I feel horrible. I'm like blanking on who it is, even though I'm actually a huge fan of hers. I like have to double check now. But she had a catchphrase where she'd be like, bam! And she was so cute and like very funny. And so I just loved it. Like, it was a lot of fun to interview everybody and to get to do a story. But I mostly did it in, like, the studio, but I got to go to some of the events, and then I did get to meet some of the queens, like, at the event.
Did you get to go to the runway show, like, at the end, the second half of an episode?
Did I get to go to what?
Oh, I think they do that on a closed set.
That's what?
I think that's on a closed set. Dip's asking if you got to go to the, where they walk down the runway and then they get judged by the...
Oh, yeah, that's like on a closed set, like, you know, I mean, and they shoot in L.A., so that's all, you know, they'll come and they'll bring people to town and they do different tours and stuff, but yeah.
Right. It's actually a really great segment, so you guys should go and find it. We'll probably put a link on Acast.
Oh, yeah, tweet it out.
But it's a really great, a really great piece, and y'all should listen to it.
So, yeah, so I spoke to, from season 6, I spoke to drag queen April Carrion. And like I said, I spoke to Michelle Visage, and I also spoke to Alexis Mateo. So she's another one of the Puerto Rican queens. Nice. She's more like listed as a like Florida queen. Like they only take one person who's like supposedly from the island every year. But you'll notice, you know, Dipti, next time you get sick, hopefully you'll go through the backlogs of earlier seasons and you'll see that they always have a queen from Puerto Rico.
Should I?
Like, every season. I mean, we could tell you, like, the best seasons to revisit, because there are some years that, like, you should definitely watch season 6. You should see Bianca. You should see certain people.
Done. You know? I will.
Yeah, Bianca's great. And also, my friend Paul and I, shout out to Paul, we're talking about the show yesterday, and it almost feels like Bianca Del Rio kind of ends up being like the Kelly Clarkson of Drag Race, in a way. Because she's really the only one that's kind of managed to, like, create and not create, because she already had a career, but like really sustain and bolster a career and sustain it post.
Right. It, post like she was working, but this has helped like her reach a whole nother audience that she's retaining.
100%. And she's like putting out like hour long comedy specials and like all this other stuff. She's really still at the forefront. So much so that like I completely forgot that Violet Chachki was even like the winner. Although last night's gown,
oh my god, that she comes her outfit out in, on the finale was sick.
I don't even know how to verbalize. Like my face is just was contorting she like a corpse? In ways.
She was like a corpse. There was like bugs on her.
Was she the last person who came out?
Yeah, when that's they, like, right. Raised yeah,
the last girl that came out.
Yes.
Right. Oh, yeah, they raised. She's wearing this like crazy, like really funky ass like Disney princess gown, and she had like she had painted some sort of like lividity on her chest bone, and like had like a little spider. It was such detail. Spider.
Oh my god! And just like her face, like what she was doing with it, I was like, I feel you, death. Like I feel. Oh my god, it was haunting.
It was amazing. Loved it. It was amazing. And you know, the truth of the matter is that Violet Chachki, that's what she would, you'll see on the very boring season 7. She's just good at that. She's just like Naomi Smalls, she's just good at looking gorgeous. And you know, she's also a dancer. I don't want to like discredit the other things that she does, but I feel like her main ticket is just like, you're beautiful and you know exactly how to contort your face and body in a model.
But she wasn't friendly, actually. A lot of people would talk about Naomi Smalls from this season as like a nice version, like a friendly version of Violet Chachki.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't 100%. Wait to talk about... I can't wait to talk about Naomi Smalls.
So yeah, I mean, where do you guys want to like dive in?
Yeah, guys,
like, season 8 is the only one you know, Dip. So like,
Okay, so I started it completely blind. I've watched Project One Way. I stopped watching when it went to Lifetime, but like I understand,
right?
How...
Like everyone did,
right?
Yeah, because
it I went just to I don't know, lost garbage. It lost its joie de vivre, whatever the hell.
It just got too long. Like there's no reason
there's
to
no
watch
reason
like an,
to watch
2 hours it's of so Project Runway.
All of a sudden, yeah, we were seeing them eating. I mean, and, like, living in the apartment. I was like, we never cared about this. Why am
it's
I watching
like, I
them
to,
eating?
Yeah,
catering.
Like, this is not a thing that I care about.
Right.
Yeah. Like the only time I care about reality contestants eating is if we're watching Top Chef, and even that's very iffy. I don't ever want to see people put food in their mouths. I just don't.
Well, so anyway, I started it. I love that I went into it actually just totally carte blanche. I didn't even know that it was going to so closely follow the because there's so many reality shows and contest shows, right? And this is so close to Project Runway.
Well, it's also, it's a hybrid of Project Runway and America's Next Top Model, right? Like, it's both of those shows, which is, I think, part of the brilliance of it.
I never watched America's Next Top Model.
Oh, it's like, it really is like, it's both of the two shows.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, which is what's great.
I could see that. So, Naomi was the first one to come out, actually. And I just immediately was taken. I was like, I'm in. Where have I been? Like, I just loved everything of it. And then the fact that it was like so much so, when RuPaul comes in, hello. Like so much, he was like Tim Gunn was nice when he did it. But like RuPaul, and like his outfits and just everything, you know, when he's not in drag. And then, you know, coming around helping.
All of those crazy puns that the writers write for, like, every single segment.
Right. There's so many writers on this show writing these puns. I was just like, oh, I'll laugh. It's just like, I'm laughing at everything. And then when I learned that they have a lip sync off for breaking the worst tie, I was freaking
I mean, to think
out.
That they now have a lip sync contest TV show that was like, Drag Race has been doing
for
this
eight years.
For like, talk
eight
about
years.
Yeah.
Keep that stuff to yourself, Jimmy Fallon. We don't need your lip sync battle.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay, Daisy, exactly. Like, it makes me so mad that, like, oh, I'm white boy Jimmy Fallon. I'm going to make a lip sync concert show.
Let's have celebrities do it.
And fuck
like,
you,
it's
bitch.
Fun, like, karaoke. And it's like, no. Like, yeah. This drag queens lip sync. Like, that's what they do. Like, you go to a live performance, and if they don't make their own jokes,
exactly.
They lip sync to celebrity songs. Come on. Yeah.
Like, I
so
seriously.
Aggravating.
In one episode, the one where it was the Britney Spears. And I forget who else.
Derek Barry.
Derek Barry.
Insert villain sound here.
And then the other. And then. Oh, well, he wasn't as much of a villain to me. We'll get to that. But when they're. That particular lip sync off. No. It was the one. I think this might have. No. It was the one where it was Blondie and Call Me. It was episode 4, mm-hmm. I think. That's when I literally got. I messaged you both. I got up because I was kind of lying down. I got up and I was clapping to myself and smiling and cheering so hard. I was dying and I was just like, I love this show so much. I want to eat it. Like, I just.
I mean, I have to say, 8 years in, they still get really great guests. I like. This year they had Amy and
Amy
David
Sedaris
both guests.
Oh, no, but I love the moment.
Mark
judges. Speaking of the Blondie one, I love the moment because you had Debbie Harry and Chris Klein there. And like Chris Stein. And Chris is like, excuse me, I know that you can't wear the same like pair of shoes more than once. And I was like,
yeah.
What? Homeboy is like bringing it. Like, ugh. Like,
Daisy, he mentioned at least 5 times during that panel. He's like, I've been watching this since the beginning.
I was like, Chris Stein, and I loved you so much.
I love that it has so many dedicated fans. And then, like, the Game of Thrones person and the finale went on. And then Margaret Cho. And just, like, I love – because the thing that I love about the show just on a macro level was how – yes, it was a competition. And, yes, it got fierce and, like, cutthroat and everything. But it was just – the message always stayed so wonderful. And it was all, like – just accept yourself and boo who you are. And it was like to all the LGBT.
And that is not new to the show, Dip, is the thing. Like, that actually is what was always such a standout part
of
the show.
That's been since like season one. Yeah.
That's not a new part. It's like, that's part of what's really always been special about this show. I like waiting for you to like text me while you're watching backlogs of this show.
To me, I think that's one of the most important things about the show. It's like such, not only is it like fun and like delightful to watch, but it is really empowering because at least 2 or 3 queens that, I don't know, like find themselves, or maybe they didn't feel like they were accepted, or like even in this year where Kimchi's like, yeah, my mom doesn't know that I do drag at all, and revealing something so deep like that she's a virgin. I mean, wow. that is just not a thing that just happens in season 8. Like, Every season there's someone that just like trudges up some you know, deep dark secret that's just like, you found yourself, praise Jesus.
Those confessionals were some of my favorite parts, especially in those early episodes. Every episode I'd be like, oh, it's makeup time, what are we gonna find out about?
Yes, it's always when the chat is happening. It's like while they beat their faces, they're like, we have things to tell you.
Right. It's interesting enough just watching them put their makeup on.
I mean, it's an art.
But, like, to also hear them, like they're such artists, and we don't even see, like, the Project Runway part of it where they're making their hair and the clothes.
Yeah.
Like, the dresses, they are full-on fashion designers. And the challenges were hard.
Even the ones that don't, even the ones that don't really know how to sew, they pull out all stops to like make these really great pieces.
You guys, yeah,
and
I
know
was
they
blown
like
away.
They bring certain props from home, and there's all of that, but there is a lot of there's a lot of ingenuity that happens in the show that I think is still really fantastic.
Speaking of props from home, Chi Chi was brought up more times than I wanted to hear it. Like, well, you know, but like, I don't have that money. And then they were like, you're on a show. You have an unlimited budget pretty much. And my question for you is, what are they bringing? Like, do you have to bring stuff from home? Because I thought that they could just get everything that they wanted.
No, no.
I understand that.
No. So you're wrong on both fronts. So Chi Chi probably... Yeah, no, no, no. I mean, this is fine. You're like a newcomer. You're
welcome.
Thank you for accepting me. Thank you.
But no, it's actually really sad. And it's and if I can go on a tangent, yeah. It's one of the things that I got really sad about Chi Chi for a while, because Chi Chi is clearly like not the most like wealthy queen. She lives in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is not really even like a major city. It's like a suburb-ish. And it's not close to a major city. And so, yeah, when you're a queen and you get invited to Drag Race, you bring what you have.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Typically, you're bringing your best pieces, because you know, like, okay, I gotta present, and I gotta present my best self. So you're bringing your best pieces, your best wigs, your best padding, your best dresses, like all that shit. And then, yeah, you don't get carte blanche, because... I mean, those girls would literally, like, buy crazy Versace gowns if they had, like, an unlimited budget.
And there are some on certain seasons that have, like, talked about how, like, they spend a lot of money on their fashion. And, like, other ones are like, well, I'm a seamstress. I make all my stuff. So it just depends, like, what season you're watching, how much you hear about it. I would say, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, we didn't hear as much about that this season except for through Chi Chi. But, yeah, like, they have to show up kind of... You know, sometimes they'll have a challenge where they have to make a thing with some of the materials that they're given, but ultimately, like, they bring a base of their stuff.
Okay, hearing you say this now, I cried during RuPaul's Drag Race, makes me want to cry again for Chi Chi, because
I think Chi Chi was robbed. I loved Naomi Smalls. I thought she was really great. But we saw Naomi Smalls win last year with the win of Violet Chachki. I really would have liked to have seen a more varied three runner-up queens where Chi Chi would have been in there. I think I know she was still trying to, like, figure out what her voice was, but I think... given her limited amount of resources, I thought she was still really creative. And I also think she was one of those queens that came from such an original place, because she wasn't tainted by a city. Like, she was just really coming from a small town place.
And like, you and I have, like, chatted about this a little. I loved Chi Chi. I wasn't really mad at the decision to let her go when they did. And even though I loved Chi Chi, but I just didn't, she didn't feel overly original to me. She felt more like somebody who was, like, doing kind of, like, pretty basic drag, because she hadn't developed, like, whatever her thing was gonna be yet, right? Like, she would say, like, I'm the dancing queen, and we, like, saw her dance a time, so now I'm like, you know, go home, go on tour, like, go figure it out, and then figure out how, like, your looks and, like, your ability to dance can start to become more of, like, your thing.
Right.
But I thought she was, like, wonderful, and I loved her arc.
I see where Chi Chi really does still need to develop her voice, except that I think that compared to someone like Naomi Smalls, who has been working in a city, who has, I guess, been sort of developing her voice, I just feel like Chi Chi's voice will be a lot stronger, and would be a lot stronger if she was given the resources to really thrive.
Interesting.
Which is not going to happen in a place like Shreveport. But, my apologies to Shreveport. I've been to Shreveport.
Why have you been to Shreveport many
of
times?
Fine.
Yeah, why?
Because my aunt lives in Oil City.
Oil City.
So I've been to Shreveport maybe
twice. I'm like saying these names
thrice.
As if I can't believe them.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just have different associations with them. Oil City to me is like the place where my boyfriend was born, but in another state, but it's also called Oil City. And then Shreveport is actually where one of my best friends, my friend Jeannie, who unfortunately is no longer with us, she's from Shreveport. So I was rooting for Chi Chi in this very, like, Jeannie's hometown kind of way.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I kept thinking that the directors were going to pull to Big Frida every time Chi Chi was up there. Not because Big Frida is from Shreveport, but because she's
Louisiana.
From NOLA, and there's, like, the Louisiana love. Yeah.
I could hear Chi Chi talk for the rest of my life just on a recording. I love I love her so much.
I just want to know what she's fixing to do. Like, I was like, she is so cute.
Yeah.
She was great.
It's like, I just want to go over your house and, like, maybe you'll make me some chitlins. Like, we're just going to have, like, a real good time. And you're just going to tell me what's what. You're going to read me up and down, and I'll take it. You can say every...
Totally.
You can say, the library is open. Like, just...
I have to say, of all the contestants, there were some I did not like, of course.
Derek Barry. But Derek Barry. No, I want me, Derek Barry.
I did not mind Derek Barry. I know that he had was one tune.
This is the newest thing about you. This is the newest thing about you is that you did not mind Derek Barry.
I know he was just Britney, but he tried a little
Literally,
bit.
Why was he there for so long?
Go away, Derek Barry.
Okay, tell me why you guys hate him.
Because he didn't
do nothing.
Because that motherfucker is a one-trick pony, and he deserves to be axed by episode 3.
So here's a little context, right? Like, this season, if I'm thinking about it, there's a lot that I really love. I thought it was a much stronger season than 7. Like, what a great turnaround. But they also found people that were, like, kind of fun. Kimchi, wildly creative. Bob, great personality. Amazing. All of these, you know, things.
Yes.
But if you saw how creative so many of them were through the years, you would have a lot less patience for the mess that was Derek Barry, is the thing. Like, it's not just that it's, like, cool, like, you're good at impersonating people, but it's not about that. And there was...
Not even people, Daisy, not even people. One fucking person. One person.
And she couldn't block her eyebrows.
She couldn't block her eyebrows. But, like... Ugh. I also, like, I just don't get Britney Spears. Like, I don't, she's boring. Like, I'm the same age as Britney Spears. I'm always like, cool, yes, like, some fun songs. But, like, people would compare her to Madonna, and I was like, don't even start with me. So, like, I already am like, Britney is, like, meh. And then you're, like, impersonating a meh person, and you can't even break out of that. There have been queens on other seasons that were very clearly... really, really, really into,
like, share,
like, specific people, but they still always could, like, turn out things where you felt like they knew how to do other stuff, and Derek Barry just could,
they could?
Right. So much so. Yeah. So, like, it was really, like, watching, like, being like, hey, dude, I know you've watched these other seasons, like, how are you not understanding that you have to do more than this thing?
Ugh. That's the thing, though, Daisy. I guarantee you, because Derek Barry is one of these people, and this is one of the things that frustrates me. And guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go on, like, a little improv analogy. Derek Barry is the guy who joins improv classes, like, level one. And he's like, I've done improv in college. And he thinks he knows exactly what he's doing. And it's like, you're not funny. And you suck. And you're also, like, panhand. Like, you're just, like, showboating the whole time in a way that's, like, really gross and, like, not... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, improv-centric. And like, trust me when I tell you I want to murder myself because I just made an improv analogy. But that's literally how I feel about Derek Barry. I think he came in being like, I'm a Vegas showgirl. Like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm Britney Spears. Ugh. I make a fuck ton of money.
Also, like, why would you go see a Britney Spears impersonator when Britney Spears is in Las Vegas? Like, that's where Britney Spears is all the time right now. I don't even understand that.
Right.
And also, like,
that's like me being like, I'm going to go impersonate Carrot Top.
Two things. Like, Derek Barry always kept coming for the same two people. Bob, who he was, like, just completely not able to come for. Like, it was like, stop trying to come for Bob. You're not clever. Like, don't mess with that dude.
No.
Like, know your limitations. And then Naomi Smalls, who, whether or not, like, most talented, like, clearly very friendly. So it was like, you're going after the friendliest queen and the cleverest queen who could crush you. Stop it.
Also, I think at some point, and I might be wrong with this, but I feel like there was a backstory that Derek kind of told about how he got into drag. And it was literally like, oh, it was Halloween and I didn't know who to dress up as. So someone said Britney, and then I've been doing drag ever since. It's like, fuck you.
It is one of the least compelling stories of why somebody was doing drag that I've ever heard.
Right. It's just like, oh, you fell into it. Like, what I want to hear, what I love about Drag Race is hearing kids being like, listen, my mom had a bunch of beautiful dresses and I loved beautiful dresses too. So, like, I made, not like, oh, it was a Halloween party and I just dressed up like Britney Spears. And then ever since then, I've had a career. Fuck off. I don't want to hear that shit. It's boring.
All right. Well, you guys made a compelling case against Derek Barry.
Who else did you not like, though, Dip?
I didn't, like, love Derek Barry, but I didn't hate him with your vehemence. But now I feel like I might have to hate.
Wait, okay, so, but I want to know, who did you, because there's always a queen to hate. So who was your queen to hate? Wasn't Derek Barry.
Acid Betty.
Ooh. Yep, close runner-up. I would have done that for two.
I didn't hate Acid Betty. I was just like, yo, Acid Betty, chill.
She just needed to tone it down.
Take it easy.
Chill out.
Like, because Acid Betty, okay, first of all.
Acid Betty was like the Puck of this season. She reminded me of Puck.
She was like
Puck. Real World
season three.
Yeah. No, this is why I hated Acid Betty, was I found Acid Betty's outfits extremely ornate and interesting, obviously. Like, so cool. But what I learned about myself, you guys, during RuPaul's Drag Race is that I have preferences for drag queens that I never knew I had. And I realized that I totally appreciate the aesthetic of an Acid Betty and some other, and like,
you want a glamazon
and,
you love the glamazon look.
Like, I put Thorgy a little bit in the same camp aesthetic wise as Acid Betty. And I appreciate what they do. Well, first of all, I will talk about Thorgy later. We'll all talk about Thorgy later. But Acid Betty, I realize I like a glamazon, but not like Bob. Like, I like Naomi Smalls. Kimchi is beautiful in her ornate, insane costumes. Who else? I mean, there were others that were just, I do like.
So were you like in love with Robbie Turner? Because Robbie Turner did very like old Hollywood glam. Like,
can I tell you something? I felt
you didn't like Robbie Turner.
I did not like
Robbie
Turner. Ooh, I did not like
Robbie Turner. I just kept being like, oh, you don't know how to have fun right now.
I didn't like.
I just meant looks wise, not personality wise. I just mean like.
No, but I felt like his tension like came across no matter the situation. So like, even on the runway, I was like, oh, you're doing this look, and I just can't. Like, you look uncomfortable, so I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, like I liked Robbie Turner out of drag. And in drag, I did not like Robbie Turner. And I realized there were a lot of people that I liked out of drag, but not in drag, and then vice versa. Right. But Robbie Turner was wonderful, I thought, in the show. But I did not like the way she looked as a Betty Davis or whatever old Hollywood. It didn't work for me. I'm like, you're trying to be these glamorous, beautiful old Hollywood women, and you don't look beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't think it was well done. And not that you have to look, I feel bad saying beautiful, but I'm sorry, drag, a lot of it. Like, if you're trying to be beautiful, then I'm expecting you to be like Naomi Smalls, who's just straight up gorgeous. Except, I did not think that she was as gorgeous in the grand finale.
I mean, she's good at, like, posing gorgeously. Yeah. I don't know if she's the most actually gorgeous, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, she definitely knows how to put it up for the camera, for sure.
She was gorgeous up until that grand finale to me, in drag. I mean, also out of drag, but I did not like
out of drag.
Turner.
I was like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, look at you, you little sweetie.
I loved him.
You little sweetie so from cute. A gigantic reason, family.
Right. I did not get, I mean, I really wanted Naomi Smalls to win it all. I thought it was a no-brainer, and I was shocked when Bob won. Even though, like, Bob won the, like.
Wow. You were shocked?
Yeah, I felt like, Bob win. See, that's interesting, because I felt like Naomi was never, ever going to win it. It was just in the top three to be, like, as, like, a filler. Yeah, as, like, filler. A congratulations on, like, having an arc.
But Naomi could dance. Could look beautiful, could make outfits, Naomi could do a lot. She wasn't a one-trick pony.
Well, a lot of people would call her a look queen, though, and they would consider that a one-trick pony. I don't think of her much. She could move okay, but she wasn't confident in her dancing.
Right. I will say that, and this comes from, because Daisy and I have watched a
bunch
of the
other seasons.
We're like
mixing shorthand and not.
I think by episode... Right, and so, like, I think by episode two, I think we were very convinced that Bob was going to make it to the top three.
Oh, definitely.
Really? I was like, yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, this is a thing that you'll, like, learn with time, with time as you watch Drag Race. They are
a skill to achieve in life.
But you know what, Dip? Honestly, it's kind of a little bit of Drag Race's downfall. It's now no longer surprising who ends up in the top three.
Well, that's how it is in The Bachelor, apparently, and Bachelorette. Like, it's like,
yeah, I think you can, like, once you start watching a lot of this, you kind of know what the producers are going to, like, gun
That's actually
for.
Funny. You know what it makes me think was of? Very... There are, without giving away names, I would say in early seasons of the show, anybody who knows the show would know that this is true. In very early seasons of the show, the people who won were really people that were good at looks. And their wins have not been considered popular over the long term because people are like, yeah, they're pretty, but like, I want to go like see somebody who's like gonna wow me when they perform. Because these people, like these queens, they go on tour after, right? And so fans come out and they like see them live.
And that's really how they make their bread and butter.
Even season one, I was always like, why is this person winning? Season two, why is this person winning? And I would say that those people, based on your description of your experience, are probably people that you would have been like, they would win. But I was like, having been to drag shows, I was very like, I don't know what I would see when I see them. Like, cool, they'll come out in a good dress. But like, I want to see them be an entertainer because they live this nightlife life. Right. You have to like own a space, you know? So, and it's not necessarily about being funny, right? Because there are some other queens that I thought really managed to have big, great personalities, but also be really kind of interesting and stuff. So it's not necessarily about making jokes, but it just, like, when you see a drag queen, what they do is they perform. Like, if you're going to pay to see them, that's what they do. So if this person is going to have a make a living for years, but also particularly for the next year, going to clubs and being highlighted as the winner, then you want, personally, I want somebody that's going to come out and do more than just, like, look good. They need to know, like, how to work the room. And so... You know, Naomi Smalls, like, never. Like, Naomi Smalls, I'd be like, you're so sweet. Like, let's take selfies. But then, like, I don't know that I'm going to get through the patience of, like, watching her do a song.
Yeah. It's not like she's electrifying enough that when you, she, because even, that's the thing, right? It's like, even Violet Chachki, for as much as she was not my favorite queen, I mean, she comes out on that thing and you're just like, ugh. But to your point, Daisy, like, how long does that last? For, like, 5 minutes? If I'm there for a show that you're at for, like, 20 minutes, great. Like, it just seems like I just blow my load in the first 5 minutes when you walk out, and then I'm sort of like, well, now I'm done with you, and I want to give you cab money.
And I've been to some of those shows, and you really do find yourself, you're like, cool, this song's still going. I'm looking at my watch. Like, it's actually a little weird.
Right, yeah, like, I'm done here. Yeah. 100%.
Have you guys ever seen one of the Drag Race shows on tour, like, over the summer? Have you ever been, have you ever desired to see it?
Yeah.
I've seen some of the ex-Drag Race folks at other shows that aren't, like, Drag Race sanctioned, but I have not seen any, like, official Drag Race shows.
The only official Drag Race show I saw,
probably because they're a little more expensive pricey. And I'm cheap.
I've seen a bunch of them perform in different settings, also kind of like Layla said, unofficial as it were. But the one show, like when I said I went to that premiere party, they did have all of the queens come out and do a lip sync of a song that they chose. And it was actually really funny because it's the beginning of the season. So I had never... It was an interesting experience because it was for season six. And I had never, ever... kind of been exposed to the queens before watching the show. So I was having a very opposite experience than I ever had before. But what was funny was the ones who really just fell flat in the room were the same ones who went home early on the show. Like, as I ended up watching, you know, not knowing that, right? Like, I hadn't watched the season yet. Like, the season was about to premiere. So it was actually really funny seeing who, like, we were all like, ooh, and then those people, like, on the show ended up being like, ooh, as well. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Now would be a good time for a little bit of a break. Then we'll come back and we'll hear what else we have to say about this fantastic season of Drag Race.
Hey, guys. Regarding Bob, I realized early on that I didn't like him. And I felt...
Oh, my God! God. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Dipti hates showboaters.
What's a what? How'd you define a showboater? Like just like a ham?
No, it's more than that.
What's a showboater?
I don't know. You always talk about how you don't like people that you think are like full of themselves, right?
Oh, right. Well, okay, Daisy. But in the beginning, like that first episode where they come out and they're like, "I am fabulous" and like all that stuff, I was loving it because I'm like, "Yeah, you're allowed first to say this." Okay. Because,
but also, did you not love Bob's?
I was just saying first. I'm just shouting.
Wait, first. No, for me, the best Bob look for me forever is that amazing bathing suit that spells the word "cunt."
Oh
my god!
Oh,
I can't even. You know what? I saw that and I was like, I need that one piece bathing suit in my
life. I also love the Madonna look, like where it was pulled from an awards show. Because what were all with the kimonos? What was with all the kimonos?
Oh. Okay.
Nobody thinks of Madonna as kimono. That to me, those are just a bunch of people who have kimonos and are like, this can double.
That's like so frustrating. That challenge, Daisy, I was watching it with my friend Paul again. Shout out to Paul. He and I have been watching this season.
What up, Paul?
Together.
Shout out, Paul.
Most of the time. What up, Paul?
I met him on the cam.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you met him one night because he was coming over to watch Drag Race right after we had recorded another episode of the Obsession Sessions. And we were watching and we're like, this is Madonna. This bitch is motherfucking iconic.
Multiple, like
every single one of you fuckers coming out in a kimono.
I know this season only started with like 10 drag queens or so, but there still managed to be like 22 kimonos and not everyone did a kimono. It was insane. I've never. Madonna has so many looks.
That's 1997 Madonna.
Everybody went for the kimono look, which is like not even. It's like really out of all the looks. So much so that when Bob came out in that like awards
show, Boy Scout
Madonna
look.
Girl Scout, which was so poignant on so many levels. It was like, well. And the padding was on point. It was one of those things where, like, bitch, you just won this because all of these other motherfuckers decided to come out in a goddamn robe.
That was a really weird episode, you guys.
That challenge made me so angry. That challenge made me so angry because it wasn't even, like, the first or second challenge.
So, Dip, I have a question for you, even though I'm your guest. I'm just curious. Like, what was it? I'm curious about the judging for you. Like, what did you think of the judges? We talked a little bit about some special guests, but obviously the most regular ones are Michelle Visage and Ross Matthews and
Carson.
And Carson Kressley. So, yeah,
right.
What'd you think of that crew and the way that RuPaul handled things?
Okay. I had no idea who any of the judges were going to be. And I was immediately so happy it was Carson because I used to watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And so I was just so happy. And I also thought, wow, he's had a lot of plastic surgery. But whatever, I still love him. The other guy, what's his name?
Ross Matthews.
Ross Matthews, I know from E! Like, I was so happy just because, I mean, the writers write the dumbest puns, but I was like, I'm into it, whatever.
There's
so fun.
Dumb and honestly, fun. It's so dumb and there's fun. A lot of puns, like, in that culture, which is also why you see them a lot in Sex and the City.
Sex and the City
was, there were women writers, but it was run by, the show was run by a gay man, so,
yeah,
like, punny stuff is, like, part of the vibe.
And I enjoyed it. And then Michelle Visage, I had no idea who she was. I loved her. There's nothing to dislike about her. And then guest judge-wise, I liked, although I don't think he contributed too much, but I loved that they had Marc Jacobs. Just because he's an icon, like, fashion-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he fucking cares to be a judge on, like, this amazing show that I had never watched before. I love that, you know, obviously Debbie Harry and the founder who's, like, or the other co-founder of, you know, Blondie that was, like...
Shout out to Chris
Stein. I've watched the show since the beginning. I loved, obviously, Amy and David. Like, just the fact that they could get all these people on... spoke like it was like giving cred, you know, like you don't I don't want to say that it's like, oh, it's for whatever it is, but I'm sorry, like big people that, like, I respect or right. think are awesome or these huge-ass celebrities, if they come on a show like this, it is extra meaningful. It makes me be like, sure. yeah,
they also fan out, like, so hard. Like, a lot of them...
Yeah, they fan
like,
out. Yeah, really
they
hard.
Will have some guests come on that are like, oh, my God, I love this show. This is my favorite show. Thank you so much for having me. And they're, like, losing their minds. And it's
yeah, they're losing
fantastic.
Their minds. It makes
and sometimes...
Dip, it's so interesting that you bring this up because it kind of reminds me of the phone conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago where I was telling you all these people that are obsessed with the Real Housewives oh. franchise on Bravo,
yeah. uh-huh.
where it's like, you'll have like, you know, Andy Cohen does this like post show called right. Watch What Happens Live, and he'll have people on like Michael Rapaport, who
yeah.
is oh. obsessed
Which is amazing.
With the Real Housewives.
That's
to the point
so
where you're like,
funny.
God damn, like, Michael Rapaport like, knows, like, what Ramona Singer is up to. Like,
so weird. It's, I love it.
It's so weird, and it's so funny, and it's the, for me, it's, like, the ultimate version of, like, stars. They're just like us.
Yeah, totally.
They're just like us. They're watching reality
yeah.
TV.
Well, honestly. You're watching reality TV, and you're getting, like, super swept up in it, and just
I mean,
all of that makes me feel
A like big
better
big,
about myself.
Big time A-listers, like of like whether you like them or not, like whether it's Jennifer Aniston or Brad Pitt or just like crazy ass A-listers, when they talk about these ridiculous reality shows, it fills my soul with joy. And I don't even watch them. But I'm just like, yeah, come on, people. Like, we all just want to turn our brain off. None of us are above it. Like, we're just like mm-hmm. voyeurs in this world. But
we're
lastly,
all
I
just
left
people sailing along, awesome. Trying to watch other people get drunk and
yeah.
crazy.
We're just
right.
We're all passengers on Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth.
Hey.
You know? It's
Might
just
as well enjoy
and
the
Carl
ride.
Sagan and Andruian and yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson
Ross Matthews
is having his backlash
and RuPaul.
Now. So yeah.
And all these
so
people.
I saved RuPaul for last. I have some things I want to say about RuPaul.
Let's discuss RuPaul.
Let's discuss yes. RuPaul. So, obviously, I am a product of the 80s and 90s, and I know RuPaul. I think RuPaul's fabulous. I barely knew that she had the show Drag Race, but if not for you two talking about it randomly over the past couple years. And, but, like, I've always thought, like, that's fun. That's cool that this, you know, this person made that, like, took it to the mainstream, which is a very difficult thing to do, to take something
yeah.
so taboo, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was watching it, I would just fall in love with RuPaul's kindness. And like, when RuPaul would come in as a man in those amazing, crazy suits.
Right, the Tim Gunn time.
The Tim Gunn. When RuPaul was Tim Gunn, I loved him so much. He was just so kind and wonderful and not mean, you know what I mean? And then, like...
But, like, honest, too. Like, being like, that's not enough. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And, like, would just give them that one... It's like in yoga class where, like, let's just move you over, like, a few inches or centimeters. But then, like, RuPaul on stage...
Who never looks bad.
No, never.
I just... could stare at RuPaul forever, not even just from the look, but the way
yes.
RuPaul moves her eyes. Like, when
so
she...
many. Well, I was just like, these queens, like, all look incredible on the show so often, and then RuPaul, like, starts every runway by coming out and just looking more amazing than they'll ever look. Like,
yeah,
every like single time you're like, here's right. this, and you're like, oh, that's how you do that. Like,
right, like, you know, yeah. you can say, what's her face? Oh, God, why am I blinking? Who hosts Project Runway?
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum is gorgeous. Heidi Klum is a model. Does Heidi Klum make clothes that are amazing? No. But does RuPaul embody everything that this contest is about? Yes. So it just
yes.
means way more to me that RuPaul's up there. And just RuPaul, when she's watching the lip sync contest, and you
she's
just
in
look
it.
At her, when she's looking at the contest, first of all,
oh,
when
yeah,
she
cares,
says,
like, she's
right.
in it.
Oh, she cares about every single one of those bitches
oh,
on stage. Like,
I just,
there's
oh,
no doubt
yeah.
in my mind that, like, even if you lost, or, like, even someone like Layla McQueen, who is, like, out by, like, episode 2.
Right. Oh, that double elimination. I mean, it's like, RuPaul was not, you cannot get on RuPaul's stage and not know how to do
I will survive.
RuPaul's just like, that is like the quintessential.
Yeah, it's like a quintessential thing. I'm sorry, Dip. I just want to go back really quickly to the RuPaul thing. RuPaul, I don't know if you guys out there know this, but RuPaul has a really great podcast with Michelle Visage called What's the Tea? And it just everything that comes out of RuPaul's mouth is super motivational. Like, he reads a whole bunch of, what is that motivational writer's name?
Which one?
Daisy, help me out.
There's so many.
Which one I'm talking about.
I don't know which one. Eckhart Tolle?
Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Eckhart Tolle.
I was right.
He reads like so much joy. Yeah, yeah. Good job, guys.
I read a lot of Eckhart Tolle.
Helping a sister out. He reads so much of that, and it shows in like every single manifestation of his thought process with Michelle. And Michelle is like, Michelle is fun and she's super smart. I think she comes off way more smart on the podcast than she kind of does on the show.
Oh, yeah. She's having fun that, on the show, you know.
Not to say that Michelle comes off as like dumb on Drag Race.
No.
But I think
she gives great critique. She'll be like, your makeup,
Right.
But yeah, she gets more chance to thrive on the...
Exactly. Yeah. On this podcast, she talks a lot more about her personal beliefs and like how she philosophizes life. And it's really good. It's called What's the Tea? It's excellent. And I would totally recommend it.
I didn't get to know her personality really on the show.
You'll get to know it on What's the Tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what I think is really interesting. Again, not because I think she comes off as dumb on the show on Drag Race. But I think because you really kind of get to know the inside workings of Michelle Visage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to know more about her.
Yeah. You know, she and Rue have like such a great chemistry between one another.
They've been friends for so long. It's real. It's like a real friendship. Really great. It's not a casting thing.
No. Absolutely. Like, you can tell that these guys have been friends for ages. They like bolster each other up and they tear each other down in like the best of ways mm-hmm. that friendships would.
It's a really great podcast.
Yeah. What's the tea?
You know, I need to listen to that. I just think whenever RuPaul would be, I'm talking the runway stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just even the like for your life, you know, and it just does that.
Yeah.
Like every tiny little thing about the show.
It's like just, a show.
It was a show. But like, here's the thing. Reality shows is, they're productions. We've all heard enough or read about enough or somehow know someone who's been on a reality show. Like, it's all very, it's just so produced. And yes, of course, this is really produced. But the fact that like Drag Race just maintains somehow still this level of true sympathy and empathy and caring mm-hmm. And this is about more than just winning a competition. It's about helping these however many queens, like, get, you know, start off, help them on their journey, and meanwhile help all the other people who are lost in life or whatever, you know, go on theirs by watching and being inspired. Mm-hmm. But just, like, RuPaul, like, the way everything and don't fuck it up, you know? It's like, it wasn't so, like, oh, let's all be kumbaya, you know? It had that, like, cut through. Basically, it was just RuPaul embodied the perfect blend of fun, funny, this is cutthroat, you better bring it, but I still love you, girl. You know, it was just so...
Well, I think that's the genius of the show, and that's why I love it so much. And it also makes so much sense if you know about, like, that community on some level, right? Because you're talking about a subculture that is much maligned, that is formed of people who... sometimes are very actively pushed out of their homes. There's a reason you hear them talk about their drag mothers and like the families that they have like created on the fly. So it's like they have to be tough, but they have to like be open to finding their own new families, and they have to be able to adjust and be creative and smart and interesting, but they also have to like figure out how to get by on their own. And I think if anybody else was trying to do the show, if there was just some like show, like a live show in New York that people were like, ooh, drag is interesting, and then some production company decided to do a show on it, it wouldn't be this. It's like RuPaul is coming at it with like pure like love and understanding of what that community
right.
is having grown up in it, of being like a punk himself, of like not necessarily yeah. trying to be a particular thing at the time, but just wanting to say, fuck it all. Like, I'm not playing by your rules. And there is such a wonderful vibe, but also this need to like survive and come together as a family. And so like that yeah. to me is what's amazing about the show, is that you really do, and you'll see this over many seasons, like anybody, like I'm like legit excited for you to like get to check out other seasons at a certain point, because there are like amazing yeah, totally. Moments between some of these people where they're just like, they are so like, they're right. freaking sharp as fuck, because they have to be, and they can be so clever and like witty and just burn the shit out of each other, but at the same, because they have to be, right, because they have to like defend themselves, because defend that's themselves. What's been like yeah. thrown at them their whole lives, but at the same time they've had to like create a home, they're, so like, they're so supportive of each other. It's never right. just yeah. about being catty the way it is on other shows, and it's never just about like whatever, it is both yeah. because like they have lived and I think, that experience
right. And I honestly feel like the biggest example of that is totally Bianca Del Rio, mm-hmm. Who's just like, she will tear you down so quickly.
She is smarter than all of us.
She's smarter than all of us. And she, yeah, just like quick as a whip. But then at the same time, like, she will be the wind beneath your wings. Mm-hmm. Like, and she will flow between really helping. Both of those worlds. In like point, like in fractions of a second, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah, and so it's just really interesting. Dip, what I would really like to know, again, as you are a freshman into the yes, Drag Race
fresh,
world.
Pre-fresh.
What was your favorite challenge? Knowing that, you know, Match Game is the, you know, it's one of the game. Games that kind of comes up every season. But which challenge did you like?
Okay, well, I'll tell you my least favorite. My two least favorite
was Match game. And then you're going to make Daisy and I, like, fall over backwards in our chairs.
Yeah, you guys just fall over. You might as well just kill yourself. Like, I hated it so much. Even though, Drag Queen Bob's Uzo, what, you know, from Uzo
Abel, Crazy Eyes, yeah.
Crazy Eyes yeah. was just so phenomenal. And yes, Bob, Drag Queen Bob deserves to win. Like, I get it, man.
She did like two impressions.
She also did Carol Channing. Can we just discuss for a moment that there was a like kind of a joke, like, oh, Carol Channing being played by a black man. Carol Channing is half black and like didn't come out about that in her life until she was like already in her 80s. And I thought it was a really interesting story. And I thought it was super weird that they never even mentioned like, yeah, Carol Channing is half black. Anyway, in the finale, Bob gets a video from Carol Channing and like my heart died.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, I died because I literally thought that Carol Channing was dead.
No, she's alive, and I knew she was alive. She is so weird, and I love her. And love Carol Channing. Anyway, I do want to get back to Dipti's thought. That was just an appropriate aside for the mention.
Oh, one thing that I hated in that was Acid Betty was like, yeah, I sucked as Nancy Grace. But then he was like, but the game sucks. And I'm like, fuck you, Acid Betty.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fuck you. I already hate you. And now you're like, but it's because the game sucks. And like, yeah. I'm just like, uh-uh. Like, it just, shut up. But anyways, I don't know. I didn't like it. But I also didn't like that president challenge at all. Where you had to smear.
I like the best challenges. Yeah. God damn it, Dip. What
those
is,
are my two favorites, Dip. Although, fun fact.
I don't like it.
So in New York, there are plenty of bars that will show Drag Race and you can go watch them. And so the night of that episode, the night they showed the one where the presidential challenge or the kind of campaign challenge, if you will, I went to Metropolitan Bar in Brooklyn, which is a gay bar in Williamsburg. Whoa, with some
I've
friends.
Been there many times with my friends. Many it's times. Fun. That would
and
be fun.
All season, they had Thorgy hosting no! Drag Night. So, like, every week, Thorgy would host and we would all watch the show. And so we went and we were so excited. And that was the episode that Thorgy got eliminated. And, like, the whole room was in shock. And we were like, oh my God. And, like, the minute Thorgy got eliminated, like, Thorgy was like, what, should I have stayed home and cried about it alone?
Wait,
this is
are
more
you
fun.
Kidding me?
No,
Daisy,
it was amazing.
This is incredible.
Yeah, me and my friends Rich That's and Doug. So shout out to Rich and Doug, my loves.
Oh, speaking of Thorgy, oh, I'm going to tell you my favorite challenge first. And then I want to talk about a couple more people. We haven't talked about kimchi.
What was your favorite challenge?
My favorite challenge, I think, was... I had two. I had one and a runner-up. Runner-up favorite challenge was the new wave or punk or whatever one. I thought that the ones that lost were terrible. Right.
No, we should have called this, Layla. We should have called this.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it was the surprise there.
It was the Debbie Harry one. I mean, I just like loved it. I was just like, awesome. Okay, whatever. But my favorite challenge was the Wizard of Oz one because I love the Wizard of Oz. Me and my family, like, we don't have traditions of any sort. My mom doesn't have this thing where, like, okay, when I was a kid, where it's like, okay, and this is, we're doing our annual. Like, we don't have that. Like, it's just, like, it's just not something we did. But every single year, I don't even know if my mom realizes this. Every single year, my mom and I would watch The Wizard of Oz. And I just, I don't know, it's just something that we did, even though I don't think that she realizes that we even did that. But I there's something that I feel for that movie so much because I've seen it a million times, and I just, I love it, love it, love it. And so the fact that that was part of the challenge, and then to boot, they made it with little people, and then to make it, like, even more, you had to do an interpretive dance. I was just like, this is such a hard show to win. Like, these people are so talented. And I, like, got up and I'm like, what a show. And I'm like, oh, bravo. Like, and Kimchi killed it on that. And I was just like, I think it was, I don't know if it was the execution or, like, coming up with it. When they were saying what it was, I was just like, okay, you're just being mean at this point, Rue. I mean, this is impossible. And the fact that they, like, executed, I couldn't believe it. It was just, I was just like, these queens are so phenomenal. Like, they really picked some gems in the world to, like, be on this show. And that, I don't know, what were your guys' favorite challenges? But I think those were my favorites from what I saw.
Well, it wasn't
my favorite. Is always Snatch
Game. Yeah, Snatch Game's usually my favorite. Although this wasn't my favorite Snatch Game of all the Snatch Games, but
it's just because people did not bring it to the Snatch
Game.
Yeah,
it is a recurring segment. So basically every year, some of the, like, something like Snatch Game happens every single year, and then there are, like, variations on the others. So every year there's always a photography challenge. The way that they have to take the picture is different. Every year there's some sort of an acting challenge. There's some sort of a musical challenge. So, like, the details around those will shift every year, but Snatch Game is the only one that's, like, always the same in that it is based on Match Game, but then they pick their characters. So that's the other funny thing about Snatch Game when it doesn't work out is that, and they even said this to each other at times, is, like, you came to the show knowing you were going to have to do Snatch Game. So if you didn't show up with an impression, like, what are you doing? Like, you had to think about that because you knew it was going to be there. It's always there. It's, like, the most consistent part of the show. So, yeah, I mean, that one, but I actually really did, I did like the presidential one, but I think I liked the outcomes of it more. Like, I thought, like, Kimchi's stuff was really funny, and I thought that, like,
Kimchi did great in that one.
Yeah, basically the three that made the top three all had, I thought, really fun videos, and the only annoying thing, because Derek Barry is annoying, is that they were like, oh my god, Derek Barry's video was so funny. I was like, what's funny is what Bob chose to do
with in Derek's
video. So let's not act like that shit wasn't Bob in the first place. But yeah, I mean, I always enjoyed the show, so.
Wait, how did you not talk about Empire? How did you not mention Empire, Daisy?
No, I was just about to say that. No,
mostly because I had a lot of digital breakdown on that one. It was like, I did see it. I had to work really hard to watch that one. I had to keep refreshing.
Oh, you were having computer issues?
Yeah, so I didn't get to watch it relaxed.
I will say that the Empire Challenge got a lot of vitriol online.
Did it?
Like, oh, yeah, a little bit. Because it was just like, oh, this is Rue just like, promoting this whole, like, black stereotype, like, thing.
Yeah.
And I guess I see that, but it's also like, guys, let's also just have fun.
I know. Like, I've read the similar stuff with, like, oh, the Latino fun queens, of Empire. And I'm like,
yeah, and it's just like, Empire's crazy and bawdy, and just, they're just heightening that, right? So, of course it's gonna be super crazy. I don't know. I thought the Empire Challenge was kind of fun. I thought watching people's takes on the characters on that show
was interesting. Well, can I interrupt you for one moment? Listeners, I don't know anyone who are bigger fans of the show Empire than my friends here, Layla and
Jason. Like, they love
We're gonna make you watch Empire, just like we made you watch Drag Race.
It was actually super frustrating because I was like, I just want to watch this and it won't load. And then, like, I just couldn't. You know what I mean? Like, I saw some great moments, but I couldn't just, like, relax and watch it. Like, it's, like, me sitting there eating whatever takeout I've picked up on the way home.
And then just, like, buffering.
Just play, buffering, God damn it, play. Like, yeah. So it kind of, you know.
So you guys were, like, meh on Empire. So, Layla, what did you love?
No. I was pro-Empire. Oh, I liked that challenge.
I mean, I thought it was smart to base the acting challenge around that. That's for sure. Because I knew to expect an acting challenge, you know.
Right. I thought the Empire Challenge was good. You know what? I'm always a fan of Snatch Game. And Dip, this is probably for the same reason that you really loved the Wizard of Oz Challenge. I just grew up watching Match Game. And so anytime there's any sort of connection to Match Game, I get really touched in the bottom of my heart. I mean, yeah, there's something, there's just a general connection to me and Match Game that, yeah, I'm just kind of a sucker for that formula.
I also thought Derek Barry got too much credit for his Britney in that Snatch Game because it was like the most basic Britney ever.
I don't even want some quotes. That's from, like an hour long anger session.
Yeah, like pull out some quotes from like Britney and Kevin Chaotic. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like,
Derek Barry did not do a good Britney.
Also, Derek Barry, like, wow us knowing that you'd have to do Snatch Game and not be like, I'm going to rest on my laurels and do the thing I know how to do. Come out
well,
and
well, do you? It's important to do other things at another time so that you can double down in that moment and be like, I'm about to give you the greatest one you've ever seen.
Well, RuPaul said you better do Britney. RuPaul was like, do it and wow us. And I was like, yes, Derek Barry did RuPaul to Britney. But then he sucked.
The wow wasn't there.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
But also, I think it would have been more wowy if he had, like, done another character and then kind of did, like, what Bob did, where it's like, I can give you two because this is a thing I know how to do, which is Britney, safe. But here's somebody else, like, out from left field just to show you that I have
There was just variety. So much awkward. Also, this was a smaller season. We've had seasons with more queens. Sometimes there have been literally two sets of Snatch Game in a season because there were more queens. So they started with a smaller group, and then it was like, y'all need to step it up. So, like, now Bob's, doing, like, y'all. Switch was really fun. I mean, I do y'all sometimes, though, like, because I grew up in, like, parts of Brooklyn that, you know, like, the Great Migration to the North by Black Southerners, and I could talk you through the history of it. It was just kind of like, oh, like, guys, like, come on, man. Like, this is, like, you knew this was coming. This is an anchor of every season. Like, bring your A game. Like, what was Robbie Turner doing? What was he doing? Game. What is that? What were you doing? I mean, God bless. What were you doing?
Like, I don't know. Robbie Turner
Robbie Turner was all like, my drag family at home is actually a very successful drag family, so I need to step it up. And it was like, well, then, boo, step it up. Step it up, boo. Come on. Step it up.
And he didn't.
No, he didn't step it up.
So I think that we need to talk about a very big star from this season, Kimchi. I cried, I think, probably
the mother tribute.
Just twice. Like, I mean, the mother tribute. That I mean, there were actual tears coming down my face. And then, like, you know, you learn first on, like, in the makeup confessionals and whatever, all of that stuff. And I felt, and then when he was picked last at the challenge because, he can't dance. I was like, I remember being picked last in grade school because I wasn't athletic. Like, I was just, everything about it.
That's part of the reason I loved the presidential challenge was that I really loved Kimchi's video.
Yeah, like, Kimchi was great.
No fams.
I thought Kimchi was really good at a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah. I really did. I know that people were like, she can't dance. She can't really sing.
She improved.
I think she's still a really great entertainer.
I think she's like a really wonderful artist. Like, just, again, some of those looks, like the flower look.
She is like the accessible drag Bjork, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like, I think Kimchi could, like, make gowns for, like a Bjork or like a Lady Gaga or someone of that persuasion, you know, like could be like the next Alexander McQueen
Yeah.
But
Kimchi was wildly talented. Like, just, I think for me, you know, we talked about it a little earlier, but it comes down to that thing of like, if I'm paying to see somebody live, like, Kimchi's not gonna bring it on stage. But I love that career. I love that Kimchi made it to the top three. I love that, like, we'll get this kind of like respect and like exposure that wouldn't exist otherwise. Cause just, I just lovely, like, so good.
Right.
Can we, I don't know. See, I would argue that I think Kimchi could probably bring it. My friend did not move in the finale.
If she had, she had a chance, and girl took five steps to the left. Like,
okay, but honestly, I have to say, I have to give it to Kimchi for that finale, because I think she created her whole onstage review, I guess, or her whole like onstage choreography, knowing full well if she's going to dance, she's going to fuck it up. So make it big, grandiose, where she's literally just like walking back and forth and like doing a couple of things. Play up to your strength.
Yeah, yeah. Layla, like, I agree with you.
But it still just like didn't do anything for me. Like, I was kind of standing, I was watching it at Gawker of all places. Actually, I should explain that I watched the RuPaul Drag Race finale at the Gawker.
At the Gawker offices
in New York City. Beautiful offices, for as long as they have them until they have to pay Hulk Hogan. I don't know what's going on. But, it was really funny because it was just like, we were all standing there. We're like, move, Kimchi, move. Like, kind of like we were like, take a step, something.
You knew she was going to move.
You know what?
You knew that the whole thing was just going to be very simple.
Daisy, yeah. I was so happy she wasn't and that the dancers were doing it. I'm with Layla. Like, I was like, okay, you know you're going to fuck it up. So why don't you just make the experience as great as possible. So your dancers will dance. You'll look gorgeous. Right. So do this thing at the end where you,
and
like, move your hands fast or whatever.
And also the song is self-deprecating enough that it's, like, explaining.
I mean,
like, this is
but
why
all the songs
like,
were,
I'm not dancing.
I mean, I felt like for me it's, like, I'm down with that for, like, a night. Like, I think it's a clever thing to do in that moment. But if you're going to be on the road, you need to just learn how to do some stuff.
But, you know, okay, Daisy, of course, I agree. But I could just spend so much time staring at every facet of her makeup and her outfit.
I thought the makeup in the finale was
her makeup was fantastic.
Just, it's never, ever, ever been off. And
it's always been very interesting at the very least, but I thought it was, like, stunning.
Like,
in the finale.
What a talent. Like, Kimchi could do so many things in her life. Like, I mean, okay, first of all, she can just perform drag.
100%. I mean, like, listen, Kimchi mentions on the finale that she wanted to take the money build a makeup line. And I was like, I would buy all of that makeup line.
Would you?
Like, only because in my... No, here's why I would. Because in my mind, I'm the kind of makeup buyer that's like, oh, that's what I can do with that makeup? Great. I'm going to buy all of it. Meanwhile, I get home and I'm like, crayon all over the face. I'm like, I don't look beautiful. Why?
No, I mean, like,
well, because it's not the makeup. It's like the technique.
I feel like Kimchi would be a great makeup artist for film. You know?
Sure, yeah.
And music.
And I always want Kimchi to, like, I want there to be, like, some sort of, like, synergy sort of thing. And, like, I want to see Kimchi on Face Off.
You know what I want to see? Like, I want to see a Project Runway season where then when they have to go to, like, the hair and makeup salon, it's, like, Kimchi and Naomi Smalls are, like, consulting and being like, you should wear a wig like this, and then we'll do your makeup like this, and then we'll have this weird runway show where we, like, review your clothes like this. That's what I want it all to come together. I just want convergence.
Daisy, I just got excited as if I'm collaborating in a project with you and Naomi.
Like, this is real and we can, like, make it happen. I would just come home and watch that, like, every day,
like,
and
we'll
me
be
and
their
Seamless
agents
would be, like, so
something.
Close. Yeah, it would be like a bottle of wine, some takeout, and, like, my joy in life. That would be amazing. That'd be all my favorite
but,
things.
But, you know, for the record, I knew and I didn't expect, and I wasn't upset that Kimchi lost. Like, I knew that Kimchi wouldn't win. Like, Kimchi doesn't dance, and that's, like, I don't know. Like,
kind
I think
of par for the course.
For winning Drag Race, from what I understand of it, like, you have to be a Bob.
A triple threat.
You have to be a triple threat. You have to be a drag queen Bob, or, like, I thought Naomi was a good finalist. And there were other people in it, like Chi-Chi, who also were
very mm-hmm. good contenders. Even very like talented. Thor, I didn't like Thorgy's makeup. It was also like in an Acid Betty way too harsh for me. But Thorgy also so multi talented that I would go watch her Thorchestra.
To know what you'll think of like Sharon Needles, like her previous season.
Oh my god! Right? Yeah.
Oh I'm my very god. Curious. I'm like just calling out previous seasons right now, Dip. But yeah, I think understand. Like
I almost feel like Dip would like Sharon Needles. I feel just like she of, would. Like, she'd be like, "Oh my god,
yeah." But like, yeah. I think that you know it. So you want to like mix the fantasy with the reality, right? And like the reality of drag is that it happens at nightclubs. And so for me, yes, that's why it's like, oh, I want to see somebody who's like performative in some way. And they don't have to be necessarily the best dancer, but like they have to hold the crowd, right? Like not everybody who's interesting is interesting because they can dance or move, but like you want somebody who's just confidence is going to like hold that room, because ultimately mm-hmm. like you go like I've seen drag queens during the day. We don't want to see drag queens during the day. Like we should not see them in the sun. We should not see them in right, fluorescent
no,
lights.
No,
we need to see them in nightclubs. Like it is to everyone's benefit.
Well, unless right? you do drag queen so brunch, which is a big thing. Like in
those
DC.
Two exist, but I've always been like they have them in New York too, and I've always been like I don't. I mean, maybe it's because you're serving me booze before 2 p.m. that I'm supposed to be okay with this, but I do not want the sun mixing with drag queens. I just don't. It's just not. I mean, like, looking at heavy makeup in the sun, right, Mike? So I'm a lady, and I've not done drag, but when I was growing up, my mother was in beauty school. My mother was studying makeup arts, like, right? And so I was, as a child, I actually spent a lot of time in the bathroom watching my mother put on makeup and watching her do stuff. And in the sunlight, it was always like, and this is like just her putting on not drag level makeup, but like, you know, lady makeup. And it just never looked as good in the sun.
Yeah,
and
no,
so I'm like,
I
don't want to see that in certain settings. I just don't right. want to.
Well, so yeah, so I want to think about these people's day jobs, but I want yeah. Thorgy to have a Thorchestra. I think that is freaking brilliant. What a
yeah, Thorchestra. What, I think it's what, so good.
So great.
What an amazing convergence of her talents, you know? Like, I mean, just it's
and Rufus Wainwright
and Rufus.
Oh my
Wainwright.
God! Yeah, that Rufus Wainwright reference in the finale was hilarious.
Yeah,
you know what? Like this also made me think of is one of my best friends has a really really good friend, and he is a lawyer by day.
Okay.
And
Rufus Wainwright
and Rufus by night. Wainwright by night. No, like I don't think that he does drag very often. I was actually just talking to her tonight about this because I was with her right before this, and I was like, I'm just thinking about drag so much. So he's Indian, and she says that he becomes the most beautiful Indian woman in a sari and just like full on. And do you know what her name is?
Wow. What?
Vindaloo.
Ha ha ha. That's good. Vin-
so like it's like a so, kimchi.
Just
so
like kimchi. Lawyer by
and
day.
Like so Vindaloo will go to clubs.
Drag queen by night.
And I just all I wanted I can't to this day I haven't met Vindaloo or his I know his real name. I'm not gonna say it now.
Sure.
I don't know what his you know
No,
but,
that's you don't know his circumstance. Don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know this person yet, even though I've been hearing about him for years and years. But I don't know. Like, now I'm thinking about all the people I know who do drag, and I know exactly of one person. Like, do you guys have people in your life who do drag? Because I don't. I mean, I've seen drag.
I don't actively right now
it.
That I know of. Although I will say this. You telling me this story of, like, a lawyer who does drag by night, I'm like, can I just meet a lawyer who's really excited to be a lawyer? Because I constantly just meet people who are like lawyers by day and XXX by
like,
night.
I'm a lawyer,
and
but I have
like
to moonlight
dirty,
as something
just, like,
else.
Fill in the blanks.
I have
yeah,
to tell
like,
you, he's like, he's a very like successful lawyer in the entertainment industry.
That's
so I mean,
amazing.
I think he probably actually does love his job, and
he's
my friend knows
steam.
Him is also an entertainment lawyer. So
that's
like
so funny.
They actually do love their job, just so you know. Some people do.
Yeah.
But I don't know people who do drag. Do you?
I've known a couple people here and there over the years. I mean a lot of them were performers in other ways. You know, like I have a performance background. I studied experimental theater in my youth. in my youth, in my younger and more vulnerable years, I studied experimental theater and like kind of performance art, and so I've always known a lot of artsy people. So I've known people who did a bit of drag, but not hugely, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It really makes me want to go see a drag show because I don't remember the last time I saw one. It has to have been like...
Oh, God. Yeah, you should go. Yeah, I try to go to one at least like once every like 3 to 4 months.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go.
I mean, like in the hotbed of that.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, seriously. Although, yeah, in Oakland. Fun fact about RuPaul's Drag Race that I thought was really interesting, and this is in my story that I did, was... Granted, I guess we all probably think of it more for tech now, but for a long time, obviously, San Francisco was basically the gay mecca of the United States of America. And
right. Shout out to the Castro.
Shout out to the Castro. But there was really... And Soma. We don't want to forget Soma. But there really was only... The first time they had a drag queen from San Francisco on Drag Race was in, like, season 5.
Right.
So...
I think it's just because the queens here probably don't watch that much. I mean, they probably do.
Yeah, they were like, we're not home at night. We're 3 hours behind. Our schedule is very different. We get up early. We do yoga. And then we get drink coconut water.
I'm just wondering if it's not like the thing of like, oh, like the San Francisco thing of like, I don't, like if I get famous, fine, but I'm not going to go out like searching for it or whatever that
you're like, I live here and not LA for a reason.
Right, like one of those
things. And the reason is really cold summers.
It's like, damn it, RuPaul, you're not going to put me into a box called the television.
Yeah.
I do what I please.
You guys.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm just presuming.
If there's anyone like me... who this was their first season, I am going to go back and watch the other seasons because why wouldn't I? I had so much fun watching this and felt all the feelings and went through emotions and cried and laughed and cheered. Well, I didn't laugh a ton, but like I laughed when RuPaul was being fabulous. But what seasons should I start? Should I just start at 1 and go chronologically?
I would go at the beginning. I mean, there's a lot that I love about season 1 and... I might even tell you skip a couple. Like, I would skip 7. But I would go, like, go to 1, check it out, and then go into it knowing that, like, it hadn't existed before and kind of keep that in your mind. You might be fresh enough without information, actually, I think probably really enjoy season 1. And then season 2, maybe go right to season 3. I don't know. I'd have to look at the lineups again and really remember. But,
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed them all, really.
I did it. I did enjoy them all. Season 7. Except for season 7. Season 7, literally, like, we would be on our way to or leave recordings of Serially Obsessed with You and be like, ugh. Like, with you, Dip. Like, and then, like, me and Layla would be like, ugh. Like, did you see that episode? I could barely get through that. But I feel like I have to catch up. Oh, God, it's work now. So it was actually great to see the show
come back. It was one of those seasons so where... Like, in the same way where you knew that, like, Bob was going to be in the top 3, like, season 7 was one of those seasons where you already knew who the top 3, like, all of the top 3 were going to be.
Season 7's like you already know who these are going to be, and you already don't like any of them, so good luck sticking around for another 10 weeks. It was like...
Oh, yeah, exactly, right. You're just, like, not compelled by any of the top three people.
So, speaking of that, let's end on this, shall we? From the beginning, did you, I didn't have anyone pick for, because I didn't understand the show. I mean, I was just learning the show. There were definitely people I thought, okay, that person's definitely going to make, this person's not going to make it, but I didn't have as much definitiveness about it. Did you guys have early on picks for season 8? And when?
Yes.
Who and when?
Bob for sure, episode 3, just because, again, going back to what we were saying at the top of this episode, Bob kind of meets the criteria of a lot of the things that ends up at top 3, where it's like, you're charismatic, you're funny, you know how to dance, you write really well, you know how to act, like, you've got a good bag of tricks, even if, you know, Bob, bless his soul, like, never did really beautiful makeup, not like in a Naomi Smalls way, but had a bunch of other things that, to Daisy's point, is very...
Bob felt very confident in what Bob did, you know?
Front-facing.
Yeah.
So, Right. And Bob was also very confident. Yes. Yeah. And I think that was a thing. I honestly thought that I didn't think that Kim Chi was going to make it that far. I only started thinking like, oh, Kim Chi's going to be top three, maybe by like episode 5 or 6. Because I'm like, oh, this girl can't dance or sing. But she is coming out with these ridiculous outfits that everyone is literally jizzing their pants over. So I figured she was going to end up.
Can I pause you there?
Towards the end.
I just want to pause you there on Kim Chi in that regard really quick before you go on to your final, what you thought would be the final three. Sometimes I got the sense that people gave, and I feel really bad saying this, but that everybody, including the judges and the other contestants, were giving Kim Chi a bit of a pass because even though she couldn't dance clearly and all that stuff, because of the story being so incredible and obviously the makeup and costumes being so incredible. Based on your Drag Race experience, did you find that to be true? Like, am I, like, I was just like, you know, they would be mean.
I would say a little bit, but also I would say for me it was less about the story and like don't underestimate how important the makeup and the outfits are, right? So for me, it was more that. Like, I would
like
say
more
I actually...
respect about that, those two things.
Yeah, like, maybe that person's not going to win, but if somebody is really turning it out with great makeup and great outfits, because that is such a core aspect of drag, then I felt like they would always respect that. I did feel early on that Kim Chi would either make it top three or make it pretty far, just out of, like, sheer artistry. I was like, she's gonna have to fall really hard, like on her face multiple times in front of us and like be terrible to not get there, because she's doing those aspects at a skill level that nobody else is touching, right? So I didn't think she was well-rounded enough to win, but I was like, this character will get probably pretty far unless they like implode. The way that somebody like Acid Betty did, where like really interesting and then got there and like didn't seem to know what to do with themselves and all their insecurities.
Did you guys think Acid Betty would go far? I think I did.
I thought Acid Betty would go further, at least at the, like, on episode one.
Same.
On episode one, yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
then as it all started showing up, it was like, oh.
Right.
Like,
I honestly thought, like, season, or episode two, episode three, I seriously thought it was going to be a Subway series.
Yes.
At the time.
Thorgy, oh. Bob, and.
I thought it was going to be, like, Thorgy, Bob, or.
And Acid
Thorgy,
Betty.
Thorgy, Bob, and or Acid Betty. Like. Maybe not all three, but like,
I mean,
for a while I was like, oh my God, New York is fucking representing all over the place this season.
Yeah.
Then I was just sort of like, oh, it's going to be two of those three.
Right.
And so I was surprised when.
I would agree. I thought that Derek Barry was the clear villain. Like, I was like, this person is going to stick around longer than they deserve to just because we're all annoyed by them. And then you throw
right,
a
and
wrench
the producers
in
are just like, let's milk it for the audience.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I did think that Bob would make it very far, very early on, like pretty immediately, like episodes one
really?
And two. I was like, Bob's going to be here for a long time and probably win. The other thing is, you know, like you were saying, Dip, like you feel like RuPaul is so like loving and welcoming in so many ways. I mean, by the moment we got to the part where we see that Bob like has been a bit of an activist. And was like protesting things and like really like out there getting arrested for protesting gay rights. I was like, oh, Bob's top three are winning because like this is exactly the kind of thing that they would support on some level.
Because in that way, it does become a lot like Miss USA. I mean, now that whole thing is a joke, but where it's like, yeah, you want to be like super well-rounded, like you're not just great on stage but you're doing something else. And that's what I think is kind of interesting about Bob's win, that's like less interesting from last season where it's just like, oh, you're just a pretty face that won and whatever. But at the end of the day, I still kind of feel like I kind of wish that Kim would have won. And I know that Kim doesn't have the entire chops. Yeah. And here's why. My whole opinion for Kim's, my desire for Kim to have won is that it would have been a surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it was a surprise that Bob won. It was just sort of like, yeah, that's what I expected and cool. And then
so surprised.
I turned it off.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. See, like I wasn't surprised
the
at
minute
all.
That we found out that Kim's mother still didn't know she was doing drag, I was like, there's no way this person will win.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's interesting.
Since we saw that last, I have since, like, talked to my mother, then I'd be like, maybe a chance. But I was like, no, because, like, RuPaul is all about really owning yourself and, like, kind of, you know, like, gets the fact that it's not easy for everyone to do that. But, like, I was like, I don't think RuPaul, like, would pick a winner that's, like, not even out to their family as doing drag. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that because that's kind of like an indicative of, like, you're not ready, proud of the stuff that you do.
Right.
Like, come hell or high water, just be proud and own up to who you are and what you do. And
And granted, that's a tough experience.
I just, in general, and this might be like a very, like, negative affirmative action thing, but I just would have liked to have seen Kim win just because we haven't seen an Asian American queen, and we haven't really seen the type of queen stuff that kind of Kim brings to the table. We've had funny queens. We've had,
what's Raja's background?
Oh, I don't know, actually. She's kind of, I feel like Raja's, I'm just wondering if Raja counts as
Asian American. I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know.
Definitely in the look. Yeah, Dipti's like, who are you talking about? I'm just trying to see if it was like an Asian queen. I'm just not sure. But I felt like it was a question worth asking.
Can I just tell you, I'm of all the past queens, because I don't know any of them, the one that stood out the most to me from the first episode was Raja. I was like, what is that look? It's amazing. Mm. I was obsessed. Raja.
Oh, totally.
From like the first episode, and then in the season. And then in the that grand first finale, episode, because it was all of the queens, stood out the most to me was
Indonesian is the answer to that question, to the previous question from Daisy. Indonesian and Dutch.
Oh, Indonesian.
Indonesian.
I
think, and
Dutch. I thought Raja, just on what I knew from the first episode, that outfit was incredible looking. And then in the whatever grand finale, that dead person was incredible. But anyways.
Yeah. So I guess I take it back. We have had an Asian American
winner. The journalist in me wanted to be accurate on that. But I get what you mean otherwise. You know, because, like, yes, like, Indonesian and Dutch is not the most obvious. Like, Raja's more ambiguous than obviously Asian.
Well, all these queens will go far. I was very, very sad Naomi didn't win. But now that I think about it more, like, I mean, I get, like, Bob so deserves to win. I'm not upset about it or anything. I was so in love with Naomi.
We just call them by their drag names, and we call them she.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
Like, I do have to say that the one thing that I am really happy about Bob's win is that I am hoping that some marketing genius at World of Wonder is like, let's do a double booking of Bob the Drag Queen and Bianca Del Rio.
Oh my God, I want to see that show so much.
I would just like,
I will give you all the monies. I will give you all of the monies.
I want to see a double bill with those two bitches, and I will show the fuck up. I will show.
I can't wait to see there. I would get in early, and I would go early and get in line, and I do not queue. I don't. I'm like, I'm fucking posh like that now. I don't queue, but I would do that.
I want you to watch it, Dip, and then I want to receive your reactions on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. Oh, you guys will be getting gifts. All of the reactions. Yes, it'll be a GIF reaction. Oh my God. Challenge accepted.
Yes.
Challenge. Well, this was so fun. Daisy, thank you for being our guest.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Me, ladies. It's always I'm always happy to talk to my friends. Love you guys.
Yes. Yes.
Love you guys. Yes, this was
guys,
awesome.
This has been a fantastic episode.
We're just going to end really super quickly on recommendations or just things that we love. So, Layla, is there anything that you're watching right now that you're just loving the shit out of?
Okay, honestly, I'm not watching anything right now that I'm watching the shit out of. I'm kind of, right now, I'm sort of like passively watching stuff. I will tell you this, and I know this is kind of going against the process of this little end thing, but I'm kind of excited for the Preacher series on AMC.
I heard it's good.
Ooh. Yeah, and I'm kind of, I'm hoping that I don't eat my words, aka, like, vinyl.
Ugh, vinyl. Oh. Terrible.
I mean, if Dipti and I are both, like, saying meh about a thing with Bobby Cannavale out in it, then you know.
I mean, we love Bobby Cannavale.
Honestly, here's the thing. I did not watch Boardwalk Empire, but I feel like I need to watch Boardwalk Empire only to salvage the portrayal of how you guys sold Bobby Cannavale to me.
I've never seen that show. And I followed him down the block one day by accident because I was so distracted by how attractive he was.
Yeah, Daisy, I saw him on the sidewalk too one day and I was like, oh my God, it's Bobby Cannavale. Okay. I love him.
His acting on Vinyl is atrocious. And I don't know if it's him and I don't know, or I don't like, I'm going to guess it's probably the directors and like just the fact that the show is written like garbage. Anyway, if you want to hear my vitriol about Vinyl, please feel free to email me and I will send you a 17-page missive about why the show is outright garbage.
It was an abomination.
And Layla will name a reason that you shouldn't like Vinyl.
I was the most excited human being on the planet about Vinyl, and I could not.
Oh my God, it's like
been
all of your things, but it just didn't work out. It was
all of my things, and I just was like, are you kidding me? And I finished it and oh my God. But anyways, so that's all we're gonna say about Vinyl. We're not even doing an episode on Vinyl because we just can't
through it.
Yeah, we just like I mean I finished it.
Fuck it. It doesn't even deserve to get like our very minimal airtime. Just fuck that show.
Sure.
Seriously.
I will say this though. I will hate watch season two.
Ooh, all right.
I will hate back but I will only hate watch it if I keep up every week. I will not binge it the way I had to binge most of it because that was so painful and awful. These blocks of my life were just like getting stabbed.
Yeah. Daisy, what are you watching?
Okay, so here's something I've actually been watching the last few nights, the last couple of weeks, is I just finished the most recent season. I've actually gone back a season thanks to Hulu. I'm watching Project Runway All Stars. I know. I don't think I. For That's here's fitting. The thing. I was very excited. It's very fitting. It's like Trey on the nose. I was not a big fan of the first couple seasons of Project Runway All Stars. It was like one of those things that I was excited about, and then it didn't really live up. But I will say this: I think the overall quality of Project Runway has gone down. But on All Stars, like the actual talent is actually pretty good because they really have picked the stronger people from the last few seasons. It's not an hour and a half episodes. It's regular 1 hour episodes. The hosts and the judges are not as like fun as some, but
who are they?
Isaac Mizrahi is one of the judges and he's really
okay.
Fun.
I love him.
And yeah, he's great. Alyssa Milano is the host and she wasn't originally, but she is now. And she's kind of adorable. She's like pregnant and then just happens to no longer be pregnant because she finally had the baby. Like, on the most recent season. So there's like a cute thing where every reveal, she's just like giantly pregnant. And everybody's like, oh, look at her cute outfit. And then what's her name from Marquesa, who's married to Harvey Weinstein, is one of the judges. It's not as good as original Project Runway, but it's like the closest I get to it. No, they have somebody else, Dana Roberts, who is their like judge. It's not as good as like actual Project Runway, but it's much better than what Project Runway became at Lifetime. So if you still just enjoy getting to watch people be good at a thing, it's not 90 minutes. It's just like they make something, and a lot of them are actually very good at making stuff. So the runways themselves are really fun to watch.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Dip, what are you watching?
You know what? I'm keeping up with stuff right now. And
the Kardashians?
Keeping up with the Kardashians.
So much to keep up with there.
Never will. I'm just going to do something super quick because this episode is so long. I haven't even watched it, but I'm just going to tell you I'm excited to watch it. I went to Nashville this past weekend with my it's not the show Nashville, but I went with my high school friends. Shout out to them. I love them all. And it was really, really fun. And we didn't even talk about TV too much. And the one TV convo that we had was about the show The IT Crowd. And two of my friends said, Dipti is phenomenal.
So good.
And they explained
so
little
great.
Parts to
so
me.
Good.
And I was
so
like, good. How on earth have I not watched this show? So that
Richard,
is
I don't know.
My next binge. It sounds awesome.
It's so good.
You
so good.
Will love it. It's
oh, I will.
Very,
I'm
very
so excited.
Good.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And then God, after you're done with that, I'll give you like follow-up shows that you can watch after IT Crowd.
Yes.
Right. Yes, I would appreciate that. I mean, I do watch
because one of the guys, BBC. One of the guys on that show, like, has done a bunch of other comedy shows, and they're like, "Oh well, I don't know if you'll like them because I know you mentioned previously that you're not really crazy about Tim and Eric, but they're very weird and they're kind of fun."
I mean, I might. Well, yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah. Binge. I think there's like 5 seasons or something, so that'll keep me busy for a while. But Layla and I are gonna do. Yeah. A show, an episode on a different show coming up soon, and we hope you tune in. And as usual, please tweet at us at ObsessionPod if you have any thoughts or comments. Tell us everything you thought about RuPaul's Drag Race. Past seasons, this season, we've got Daisy.
Who was your favorite queen? Who was your least favorite queen?
Please tell me who your favorite of all time is, because I will tell you who mine is, but only online.
Ooh. So as always, please tweet at us at ObsessionPod and tell us everything, who your favorites were, who your least favorites were, past seasons, present season. We don't care. There's no spoilers anymore. Like, whatever. Daisy will tell you everything. She loves to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. So she will chime in.
I really do.
Layla will chime in. I'm now the biggest fan. I'm going to watch past seasons. What season do you want me to watch? Did you?
Oh, yes.
Who did you want to win? Who did you want to lose? Do you have a drag preference? Like, I apparently do now. I don't know. Say whatever
Eleganza.
You want.
And also, guys, here's another fun thing. If you were to do drag, or maybe you do, what's your drag name? Or what would you want your drag name to be?
Better question than what's your porn name, which is just so tried.
Porn name is so boring. Dumb. Drag name's wonderful.
Totally.
So good.
All right, well, until next time, guys, we will...
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Yes, Daisy, we love you.
For joining us. This has been super fun.
So fun.
All right, thanks for everything, guys. We'll see you on the next ep of Obsession Sessions.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.